Saints, the book of Proverbs, an overview of the book of Proverbs, written mostly by Solomon, none other than the son of David and Bathsheba, and most of you know the story there. Solomon wrote much of Proverbs. He also wrote Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, three of the poetic, what we call the poetic books of the Bible. In the middle of the Bible, right after the book of Psalms, they begin. Now, Derek Kidner said this about the book of Proverbs, and that's what we're looking at here today. Just a little bit of an overview to whet your appetite to dig into this beautiful book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Amen. It is not a portrait album or a book of manners, writes Derek Kidner. He says it offers a key to life. The samples of behavior which it holds up to view are all assessed by one criterion, which could be summed up in the question, is this wisdom or folly? Unquote, Derek Kidner. I don't know about you, but I've studied through Proverbs for many years. In fact, lots of Christians like to read one proverb a day, like the day of the month, you know. If it's the first day of the month, they read Proverbs 1. If it's the 20th day of the month, they're reading Proverbs 20 to digest and gain the wisdom and knowledge of God through this glorious 31-chapter book of Proverbs, perhaps one of the most quoted, if not the most quoted books in all of God's Word, which contains 66 glorious books in the canon of Scripture. The unique place of the book of Proverbs in the canon of Scripture. The book of Proverbs is as modern as today is modern, because all of God's Word is living. Amen. It's living. It's alive. It's eternal. And it liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter, I believe it's 2 verse 23 or 1 verse 23. So the book of Proverbs is as fresh today as the moment it was written, because wisdom and truth are timeless, amen? They're relevant at all times, in all generations, although Satan is the author. And behind those who try to downplay and act like the Bible's archaic or outdated, that is absolutely diabolical. Proverbs deals with the problems of life that each of us has to face, relationships in particular with God and men. In fact, I got to tell you, on a personal basis, the book of Proverbs alone, not only the whole of Scripture gives us and offers to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, but the book of Proverbs alone seems to cover nearly every situation that can come up in life. It's absolutely amazing, as only God could do in his authorship through the Holy Spirit and Solomon, his servant, who wrote and penned most of this book. One man once wrote that, quote, when a young man said to Carlyle that there was nothing in the book of Proverbs, he replied, make a few proverbs and you will think differently of this book. Definitely. Proverbs is the world's finest collection of sound, sanctified, common sense wisdom, written so that young people might not have to make some of the dreary mistakes their elders have made. The purpose of Proverbs is stated in chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. In brief, it is to give wisdom and understanding to a young man so that he will find true blessedness in life and escape the snares and pitfalls of sin. The key verse is Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, which says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. One man, a commentator, also said, laws from heaven for life on earth is what best sums up the book of Proverbs, and that describes its contents very concisely. A pro- proverb is a pithy statement. P-I-T-H-Y. Good word to look up. A proverb is a pithy statement of wisdom, often worded in a clever way to make it easy to remember. And nothing is easier to remember, saints, than the King James Bible and the cadence thereof, which it is written in under the inspiration of the Spirit. Praise God that he did not drop the ball, but he continued to use holy men of God. Not only did he to write the 66 books of Scripture, but also to make sure that it got into our language, according to his promise in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, where he promised to preserve, and he kept that promise, to preserve his word to every generation. Most of the Proverbs consist of two clauses presenting either similarities or contrasts. Yes, many contrasts in the book of Proverbs. There are several varieties of Proverbs, as will be seen from the following. Number one, some are single statements expressing a simple fact. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Chapter 16, verse 7. And second, some consist, some of the Proverbs, of two clauses or phrases in which one thing is compared to another. For example, Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. Okay, and still others of the Proverbs have two clauses or phrases, usually connected by but, B-U-T, and describing things that are opposite to each other. Here's one, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7, quote, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Wow, what a contrast. This type of Proverbs is found mostly in chapters 10 through 15. Also, there are Proverbs with two clauses or phrases in which the same thought is repeated in a slightly different way. Here's an example. And by the way, this one here is also insinuating and reveals to us that the Bible is its own self-interpreting dictionary. Amen. Here it is, Proverbs 23:27. For an harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. Proverbs 23, verse 27. And the Proverbs of God here in the book of Proverbs beckon us to dig deeper into the physical illustration that reveals and how God is using it to reveal a heavenly truth. Amen. Okay, the authorship of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is sometimes called the Proverbs of Solomon, since most of these sayings in this book of Proverbs were written by that very wise king. In fact, these are the several hundred of the Spirit of God inspired by the Holy Spirit that Solomon penned. Chapter 30 is said to contain, quote, the words of Agar, the son of Jacob. That's Proverbs 30, verse 1. Chapter 31, these are the last two chapters in Proverbs, is introduced as, quote, the words of King Lemuel, 31:1. We have no knowledge today as to the identity of these two men. Some think that these men were other names used by Solomon. Nevertheless, saints, regardless of human authorship, these are divinely inspired contents of the Holy Bible. Okay, and a little bit about the background of the book of Proverbs and the themes. Written by Solomon and others, the colorfully poetic book of Proverbs provides a liberal education, not the liberal we know as the Democratic Party, by the way. We're talking about a biblical liberal, a generous. It covers a wide range of subjects, a variety, from spanking a child to ruling a kingdom. One sometimes wonders if there is any truth that is not found here in the book of Proverbs, at least in germ form. And I got to tell you, friends, that's exactly my observation. It covers so much ground about human life. It is so power-packed. There is no book on earth that has more power-packed wisdom than this 31-chapter book. It's amazing. Proverbs speaks of the liquor problem, installment buying, co-signing, juvenile delinquency, and labor management. You will meet all kinds of people here in Proverbs. The brawling woman, the proud fool, for example, the man who does not like to be told his faults, and the ideal wife. The best of all, the Lord Jesus is here speaking to us as wisdom personified. The ideal elements in the book speak of him, Jesus, as is the case with all Scripture. The actual shortcomings cry out for him. Amen. Proverbs is difficult to outline. Instead of presenting a continuity of thought like a motion picture, it presents individual pictures, kind of like snapshots or slides. As you study the book of Proverbs, you will find that it resembles the book of James in many ways. In fact, many call the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament, rightfully so. Another valuable study device is to find illustrations of individual proverbs from the Bible itself, history, biography, literature, nature, newspapers and periodicals, radio and television, and your own experience. It will be helpful to remember that while some of the proverbs are statements of absolute truth, some are statements that are generally true, but that might have an exception here or there. For instance, it is always true that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, Proverbs 18:10. But there may be exceptions to the statement that, quote, a friend loveth at all times, chapter 17, verse 17. It is essential to read the corresponding verse or verses first. Many of the explanations will be meaningless unless you have read the proverb in question. For example, in 10:22, the blessing of, that verse says, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Okay, and that's just one example how the book of Proverbs is to be read also in context, although it's a little bit different from the other books of the Bible, such as the case in Proverbs 10:22. It should be read in the context of the passage in chapter 10 that it's written because there are conditions to the blessing of God. Proverbs talks about parenting a lot. And instructing your children and disciplining them, and also obedience and disobedience to parents. You know, honor your father and mother is one of the Ten Commandments. Words of parental advice are all over. Proverbs, speech, wow, it's everywhere in Proverbs. Speaking of excessive speech, flattering speech, foolish words, and gentle words, good words, harmful, harsh, hasty, healing words, honest, inappropriate, lying, and deceitful words, perverse words, satisfying, slanderous, tale-bearing words, backbiting words, belittling, disturbing, evil, appropriate words, true and false witnesses, wisdom or wise words, worthless words. Wow. Also, various themes. There are various themes in Proverbs. Abominations, ancient landmarks, borrowing and lending, the diligent man, slothful men, enemies, envy, false balances and weights, honey, industriousness, justice and injustice, the king or ruler, the lot, old age, partiality, pride and humility, reputation, the scorner and the scoffer, servants or slaves. The book of Proverbs talks a lot about wealth, the wicked woman, other women, whorish women, etc. More on the background of Proverbs. The Hebrew Old Testament was typically divided into three categories: the law, the prophets, and the writings or the poetic books, which span between Job and, I believe it's Song of Solomon, like five of them, included under the third category were the poetic and wisdom books, such as Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. In a similar manner, ancient Israel had three categories of ministers: the priests, the prophets, and the wise men. The latter were especially gifted with godly wisdom and counsel concerning both practical and philosophical issues of life. Proverbs presents the inspired wisdom of those wise men. And the Hebrew term mashal, the word M-A-S-H-A-L, translated Proverbs, proverb, variously means oracle or parable or wise saying. Thus, there are some longer discourses or oracles in the book of Proverbs, as well as some short and pithy statements containing wisdom for living a prudent and righteous life in uprightness. Whereas Proverbs represents a form or proverbial teaching common to the ancient Near East, its wisdom is distinctive in that it is given the context of God and the righteous standards for His covenant people. And let me add that the Proverbs aren't just philosophies. They're divinely inspired truth, and that's why they are included in the canon of Holy Scripture. Reasons for the popularity of proverbial teaching in ancient times were its crisp clarity and its capability of being easily memorized and passed on from generation to generation. I would add that the new versions have removed that cadence and that crisp clarity. All right, just as David is the fountainhead of the psalmic tradition of Israel, or the writing of the Psalms, so Solomon is the fountainhead of the wisdom tradition in Israel. According to 1 Kings 4:32, Solomon produced 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs in his lifetime. Amazing. Other authors mentioned by name are, as we mentioned earlier, Agar and Lemuel, chapter 30 and 31, both of whom are unknown to us. Additional authors are implied also in Proverbs 22:17 and 24:23, though most of the Proverbs originated in the 10th century B.C., the earliest possible date for completing this book would have come in the days of reign of Hezekiah, which is 700 B.C. Okay, the purpose of the book of Proverbs, the book's purpose is forthrightly stated there in the first chapter, as we mentioned earlier, to provide wisdom and understanding concerning wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, so that simple people can be prudent or wise and upright before the Lord. Youth can obtain knowledge and discretion, and the wise can become even wiser. Though Proverbs is essentially a wisdom handbook on living rightly and prudently, the necessary foundation of that wisdom is explicitly stated as being the fear of the Lord. All right, a survey of the book of Proverbs, the unifying theme of Proverbs is wisdom for right living. A wisdom that begins with humble submission to God and the fear of the Lord, and then flows to every area of our life. The wisdom of Proverbs admonishes concerning the family, youth, sexual purity, marital faithfulness, honesty, hard work, generosity, friendship. Some of these we mentioned earlier, but it bears repeating. Justice, righteousness, and discipline. The book of Proverbs warns about folly, the folly of sin, strife, dangers of the tongue, foolishness, alcohol misuse, gluttony, lust, fornication, falsehood, slothfulness, wrong company, bad friends. Contrast discretion. The book of Proverbs contrasts discretion and folly, the righteous and the wicked, pride and humility, laziness and diligence, poverty and wealth, love and lust, Okay, the special features of the book of Proverbs, eight major features or emphasis are characterized in the book of Proverbs. Number one, wisdom, rather than being tied to intelligence or vast knowledge, is directly related to, quote, the fear of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 7, which reads, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Thus, the wise are those who know God and keep His commandments. The fear of the Lord is a recurring emphasis in the book of Proverbs. Also, number two of the eight special features of Proverbs, much of the wise counsel presented in Proverbs is in the format of a father's godly advice to his young son or sons. Number three special feature in Proverbs, it is the most thoroughly practical book in the Old Testament, as it touches upon a broad range of basic principles for right relationships and behavior in everyday life, principles that are applicable to all generations and cultures. The fourth special feature of Proverbs is its practical wisdom, godly precepts, and basic principles for life, which are portrayed or conveyed in short, pungent statements that are easily memorized and remembered by youth as guidelines for their lives and for living. The fifth special feature of the book of Proverbs is the family occupies a place of pivotal importance in Proverbs, even as it did in God's covenant with Israel. Amen. That's a good one right there about the family. Okay, and the sixth special feature of Proverbs is prominent literary features of the Proverbs are their prolific use of vivid figurative language, comparisons, contrasts, concise precepts, and repetition. Amen. In the front of our books that the ministry has, I confidently and boldly declare that sometimes there's going to be verses that are repeated because we learn. How do we learn? We learn by repetition and association. Amen. So the truths of Scripture are repeated from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:13 that we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual, or we're to collate Scripture with Scripture. Isaiah 28 speaks of line upon line and precept upon precept. That's how the mind of Christ is apprehended by the believer, through a thorough study of Scripture as led by the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, which are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Okay, the number seven, the special features of Proverbs, the wise wife and mother are portrayed in the book of Proverbs, especially chapter 31. This is unique in ancient literature in terms of the high and noble manner in which a good woman, a godly woman, is viewed. All right, number eight of the special features of Proverbs, the last one here. Wisdom exhortations in Proverbs are the Old Testament forerunner to the many practical exhortations in the New Testament letters. Okay, and one of the New Testament fulfillments that we observe is that the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs finds its ultimate expression in Jesus Christ, someone who is, quote, greater than Solomon, who wrote Proverbs. That's found in Luke 11:31, and who is, quote, made unto us wisdom, unquote, 1 Corinthians 1:30, and one more, quote, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. God bless you, saints. Thanks for listening, and feel free to frequent safeguardyoursoul.com.